Interesting conversation with the
Thank God he's off. Thank God he's off.
Jim Taddy is, he was on the show and he's now off the show. And it's, I guess, made O-Duck. You love him deep down. Come on.
Yeah, I love the guy. He's the one, like, he taught me the ropes and what, you know, how it all works. And everybody's brutal when they first started this. And he kind of worked with me and took the time to. And I owe him for that always.
Because
it wasn't pretty.
Well, no. You started in the studio that I'm in right now. I will say most people are brutal when they start.
That's right.
Would say that you were better than most. Because I did your audition on television.
Yep. Oh, you and Jamie did my audition with Animal Network.
And Noodles didn't say anything because you were so good. He was there to support you.
Didn't we do the network one, too?
Yeah. That was the network.
That was the only one I did, yeah. And we started doing those plays of the year or whatever with Duffy.
Yeah, yeah. That's right. I forgot about that. The first time you forgot that the camera was on, the jib was floating in, and Duffy was talking, and you didn't realize the jib was for all four of us. You thought it was for you or for Duffy. And I remember you were, like, scratching your nose just as the camera came on. And I was like, don't do that. Like that. Like,
I know. Mark went to school for this stuff. Well, yeah. I had no idea what the hell was going on. If you don't know, you don't know.
Same way. But, like, Duffy's talking, and he's going to introduce us in a segment. And you thought it was just a single on him, but the jib was coming in. And I thought it was great because, you know what? I went through the same thing. Like, it's trial by fire. Mark, you're right. Like, you went to school. You have a background on that. With us, it was like, okay.
Yeah, you're a former hockey player.
You can
do this or not do it. Like, it's very simple.
Yeah. Well, you guys have been obviously great. And you know, when I think of Dave Poulin, I think of a guy who is a natural talent the moment that he stood in front of a camera.
That is very correct.
He's also pretty good on radio as well. And he was great on this show last week, and he missed you guys so much. He's back. How are you, Dave?
I'm good, gentlemen. How are you? And there's nothing natural about this job. Nothing at all. Nothing. You know, you may look natural on the camera and your feet are going 100 miles an hour underneath that desk. So, you know, it was really TSN that broke me, or TH2N that broke me in the late night show. And one of the directors in particular, who I was terrified of, I didn't even know who she was, but I was terrified of her. She was so bossy, and she was so great. She
oh, yeah.
So
look at this camera. Look at that camera. I know exactly what you're talking
tremendous.
About.
Tremendous.
But
so
it's good that she's so demanding, and she didn't take any breaks on anybody because of your inexperience.
Exactly.
She's like, this is how it's got to go. This is the way it's got to go, and I run the show here, and you got to do it if you're going to be on my show. And that's the best way to do it.
Did you even know who you were talking to at first? Like, I didn't even know who she was. I didn't know where she was. I could just
she's 15 feet away from you, but you had no idea.
She was tremendous. She was the one. She was the, you know, of everyone that I worked with, she was the single biggest factor, really, for me, and I was terrified of her.
No. Pooley, we've been talking about getting going here. You being in a management position, how busy would like a team services guy be right now, just with everything up in the air and possible situations? And by the way, the team services guy, for anyone who doesn't know, is booking hotels, it's booking flights, it's booking a lot of stuff, dealing with the individual players. Is that probably the busiest guy in the NHL right now?
Absolutely. Oh, you know, and for the Leafs, it's Brad Lynn, who I worked with closely with the Marlies. And he has probably, I can't even tell you how many different plans he has right now, 10, 12, 14, 16, totally different plans, each one contingent on something else happening. If he's bringing everybody back to Toronto to start with, if they're starting in the U.S., why bring everybody back to Toronto? You'd have another origination point, different hotels, different logistics, who's involved. What is a bubble going to look like? And, you know, these guys are so good at what they do. And it's funny when you describe them, because it's kind of like when you need something, that's where you start. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't know what you need, but you need a new fridge. That's where you start. It doesn't matter what you need. He can get it. And those guys are so good at what they do. And they travel with the team. They're there all the time. It's not like someone who makes plans at home and then doesn't go with the team. They're there to take the heat when something goes wrong on the road, too. So he would have so many different balls that he'd be juggling right now. Oh, and each day trying to get more and more information about how things are shaping up, how many this is going to involve. You know, things like visas, okay? Are the visas extended from the end of the season? You know, who do we need to worry about that for? You know, if they include the young man, Nick Robinson, he's an American. Mm-hmm. Does his Canadian visa expire at a certain point from playing with Peterborough? You know, all these crazy things. So he's a very busy man right now.
We were talking about training camp, Pooley. Is 3 weeks too much? Like, I was thinking, like, 10 days should be enough to fire these guys up. Like you're trying to get this thing done, and I know there's a bunch of different factors, but isn't 3 weeks a little much?
It's too long, though. It's too long for me, and at almost any stage of my career, and particularly if they're going to get back on the ice on June 6th and don't start till July 10th. So you picture this, and the part I didn't like, and I've spoken to you about it before, is that when they start on June 6th, originally there's no coaches, no instructors, nobody involved. And that's not a social distancing thing, guys. That's someone that's there when they're setting the rules, arguably in the Players Association, who doesn't want coaches involved because maybe they...
Why the hell wouldn't you want... I know coaches are coaches, but wouldn't you want a coach out there to kind of...
Absolutely, oh. Like, who's supposed to run it? You step on the ice with five other guys and say, okay, we're going to be happy for the first day because we're zipping around on the ice shooting pucks and stuff, but...
Three-on-three weave drill.
Exactly. And don't come within 6 feet of each other.
Yeah.
And I absolutely think from day one there should be an instructor there if he's standing on the bench, whatever. And it makes no sense at all. Mm-hmm. Players want to be told what they have to do, and particularly with how they are with sports science now. Is one of the six groups or one of the groups of six going to go too hard the first day and burn themselves out? And, you know, is their second day going to be, you know, different from their first day? I just think that's a big miss. But if you have a month plus of that and then go into a three-week training camp, now you're talking 7 or 8 weeks. It's too long. They don't need it. I mean, they simply don't. These are elite athletes. Yes, they've been on for a long time. But there's a ramp up during these smaller group skates that, if done properly, can get you in place where 10 days max for a training camp for me.
I agree, and I think, you know, the format we discussed last week, you know, it's not perfect, but we are going to see some exciting hockey. And, you know, the one thing that we discussed, and I wanted to circle back on it, Pooley, was, you know, the league has, for lack of better words, we're called the luxury of time. And what do I mean by that is to push it a little bit farther, like Owen and I were talking earlier, and Mark, were in the 4 o'clock hour of, you know, if you're going to make an announcement and then say, oh, you know, 6 to 8 weeks from now, it gets people excited, and then they realize, oh, that's still 2 months away or more. And O's saying, like, it would have been nice if they, you know, had more of an announcement, mm-hmm. you know, hey, right now, and we're going to be playing 3 weeks from now. They can't do that. But then I look at the league's standpoint, and they say, you know, we want fans starting in January. We want to get things back to normal with somewhat of a timeline. So when you're working backwards from that, it's fine for them to start in August and September and play into October and have 2 months off just because this is such a unique situation. Do you agree with what the league is doing as far as that time frame?
Well, I think they're trying to be first, Jamie, above all. They're trying to get it out there and be first. Now, they're working, I would believe, in close coordination with the NBA because that makes total sense. But it's so challenging right now to put a timeline on anything. It just is because of the dynamics of how fast things are changing. And, I mean, they're just changing so quickly. And I still think, guys, we've watched now testing is down to, what, 12 hours, and they can get a full result back. I still think between now and 4 weeks from now, we're going to see medical advancements in testing and how we're doing things, and hopefully in medicine of some sort. And before we get to an August 1st puck drop for games, you know, now you're talking a couple of full months. And once again, at the rate science is working, you're very hopeful that something gets better in that time. Tracing, tracking, you know, medicine, whatever it may be, that will make all this. I think you can always pull the date up. I don't think they want to get in a position where they have to push it back again. And so when you say time's on their side, set the far date. If you move it up by a couple of weeks, then everybody's even that much more excited.
You think management types are throwing in the odd FaceTime right now, Pooley? See,
yeah,
checking in on the fellas?
Yeah, I think you want to check in. I think you know pretty much, but now more than ever, that's left to the trainers and the responsibility on the trainers, you know. And the trainer may go to a manager and say, hey, you might want to give so-and-so a little ring and see how he's doing. And not by phone, by the way, but maybe a FaceTime or, mm-hmm. or a Zoom call or a Skype call so you can get a visual on this guy. But that seems less and less now. It really does. Right. And but once again,
there'll be one or two, though, David. Time.
Oh, absolutely there will. There's no question there will. There'll be a couple on every team. And, you know, no question that just have never had to experience something like this and have never gone this long and have no idea how to handle it.
Joined by our TSN hockey analyst, Dave Poulin. And, you know, the guys dismissed this. Darcy Tucker dismissed it. But there's this whole idea that the Columbus Blue Jackets would have an advantage because they have a veteran coach in John Tortorella compared to Sheldon Keefe. And given
who said that, by the way?
Nick Foligno. Nick with Mark Masters on TSN. I think
their one advantage they had, Mark, is if they work Toronto into the ground and Toronto doesn't work, then they'll beat them. That's their advantage.
Well,
that's John Tortorella, though. Well, that's,
right.
You know, can
right.
he get them to do that? You know, I'm really intrigued, and Jamie and I were laughing when I asked when I cut Brian Hayes' grass the other night and asked Dwayne Casey a question about coaching in a short-term tournament, and it was really all about whether a coach is going to have more of an effect, like coach more, coach the exact same, or coach less.
That's a great, great point.
And you know, how are you going to handle it? And that's where the veteran Torch, you know, is he going to back off at the right time when we think he's going to take total command? Is he going to say no? You know, now he would have been the assistant coach on the 2010 U.S. Olympic team. You know, they've all done world championships, and that's what this is more like. This is more you're coaching for a short-term tournament. And I'm intrigued to watch how much coaching is a factor. And to me, the guys that know their team the best, that understand their team the best, that have been through some things like a Bruce Cassidy, how nice would it be to say to Chara, hey, take the D down to that end, and Bergeron, hey, you take the forward down to that end, and have a little chat with them before we get going here and let them know what we're looking for. Like the luxury of having a team together like that that's won a Stanley Cup, that's been to the finals again, that's been through so many battles, mm-hmm. and they're good. And that's where I think the advantage goes to the coach that figures out how much to do or how little to do at the right time during this.
That's a great, great point.
Where'd that voice come from anyway?
That was after your
Dwayne Casey.
Yeah,
that
Dwayne
was
Casey.
Funny. That is so funny. Dwayne had no idea where that other voice came from.
But he loved it. He You're gonna be ready for the panel in late July?
I know. Yeah, I'm ready to go.
I know it's right around the corner.
Now. Tell me we're starting tomorrow. I'm ready to go. You know, with whatever happens here, we don't know at all. But I think everybody is excited to get back to it and see what happens. And it's something so different. You think about, you know, you're always looking on panel points. You know, you go into some. We've had some games where we're sitting there with 2 minutes to go in the period. Noah and I are looking at each other like, we don't have one single thing to say here. Like, one thing to say.
0-0
Shots are 6-3. There have been no special teams. No one's hit anybody. But, you know, in this case, you're going to have a million different directions to go and talking points of individual and all different points to go to. And I think it's going to be, from a broadcaster's standpoint, it's going to be a broadcaster's delight because there's going to be lots to talk about.
I agree. Pooley, you spent all your career in the States as an NHL player? Yeah, I mean, you're seeing what's going on. I think it's closer to home with you because your daughters are in the U.S. right now, are they not?
They are. It's really close to home for me right now, Jamie. I watched it. I was 5:06 p.m. tonight. I flipped over from you guys. I was working out, and 5:06 p.m. tonight, there's a big incident in Philadelphia. It's 2 blocks from where my daughter lives, and 2 blocks, literally. And I could see her apartment in the background and in an old factory that she lives in. And her husband's very, very involved. He works for the Urban Affairs Coalition in Philadelphia. He's a director of external affairs. So they are right, you know, right in the middle of this. And when it hits close to home like that, you know, I have 2 daughters in Chicago also. And CNN opened tonight with 6 cities. And, you know, it was Washington, Boston, and Philly were 3 of the 6. I played in those 3, and it was Chicago was the 4th, and I played or worked there and lived there. Mm-hmm. And so I think when you can define exact areas and you're watching streets that you know well and you're watching people, you know, that are directly affected, it's much, much closer to home. There's no question about it. And this is about education, guys. You know, and I've watched some of the guys that have made statements, and they have to have done it from learning. And, you know, Blake Wheeler and Anders Lee both had strong statements. Well, they're captains, but they're also from Minnesota. Mm-hmm. And they're taking this personally because Minnesota, you've never thought of Minnesota as a racial town. You know, they're not, they've never been one of the four, you know, the leaders in any of these riots or anything that's gone on or disturbances in the past. And you know, and Zach Smith is an interesting one. Guys, he's from Maple Creek, Saskatchewan.
Yeah.
2,000 people there. I mean, this isn't anything he's dealt with in his life, but it's something he's obviously taken, you know, enough care to learn about. He played in the American League in Bingo, and I think Bingo can be a pretty tough town. Not so much in Ottawa, and now he's in Chicago. And so taking the time to learn this, and for me, the real eye-opener for me, you know, I'm from Timmins, okay, my first 9 years are there, and there's it just doesn't exist. You know, it's a small mining town, and it doesn't exist. And then I grew up in the west end of Toronto, and, you know, largely raised by a single father, and it didn't exist in our household. It simply didn't. And then I went to Notre Dame, and my freshman year, guys, I took a class. A very famous sociology professor named Dr. Joe Scott, an African-American, and he called himself Dr. J. And, of course, Julius Erving was at the height of his game there, and this guy called himself Dr. J. And he'd stand up in a class full of predominantly white kids with real privilege and real upper middle class, you know, backgrounds in private schools, and he would just go off, and he'd say, I marched with Martin Luther King, and he was just so fascinating. And I think more, I mean, his class was always one of the hardest classes to get into. I think I took three different classes with him, and they were absolutely jam-packed from people that wanted to learn. Mm-hmm. And that was a real eye-opener for me. And, I think I have learned, basically from a non-political family, and most of the locker rooms I was in, and guys, you correct me if yours were different, but we're not really political locker rooms. Like, you weren't talking politics in the locker room very often.
No,
you know, there might have been the odd guy, but you just didn't. You know, we were all thought of as Republicans because we made a lot of money. So we were seen more on the Republican side than the Democrat side. But it's about learning. And for the first time, if you want to tie two things together, we're watching this, but it's still from a distance, correct? It's still not, you know, something that's affecting every one of us.
Right.
But it comes on the heels or right amidst of the pandemic, which affected everybody in the world on the exact same platform. For the first time, anything has ever affected the entire world.
Yeah.
No other thing has affected everybody at the exact same time. Didn't matter your socioeconomics, didn't matter your background, your ethnicity, your financial situation. Nobody could go out. Nobody could do anything. And so maybe that's combined with what we're watching is a step that says, okay, we've got to get a more level playing field. Mm-hmm. We've got to learn how to do it. We simply have to.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, a great anecdote that you're sharing with us, Pooley, and we're thankful for that. But mostly, we're grateful to hear that your daughters are doing okay and your family's doing great. And you know, you hope that the world. I know this is maybe idealistic to say this. You hope that people can learn from it. You hope that we come out of this stronger and better. We also need to change history to do that because we have been down this road before, and obviously we have not, you know, been able to get to the result that, you know, society needs to get to.
Yeah, and change comes through education. You have to take it upon yourself to learn. You simply have to.
Yeah. Be well, my friend. Great having you on the show, and we'll talk soon.
Okay, guys. Have a great night. Thanks.
There's Dave Pullen, TSN hockey analyst, and again, you know, as you pointed out, Noodles, a lot of connections to those U.S. cities, has family there, his daughter's there. I can't imagine at 5:06 when he saw that news report and, you know, he can see his daughter's apartment in the background. It's, you know, no parent wants to think that, but, you know, she's okay, and that's the most important thing.
Agreed. It's certainly, I'm sure, unnerving. So we're thinking of her.